to Sufficiently Afflicted, the podcast that aims to help us and you.
If you like what you hear, let us know. You can find us on outplayed.com. There is no...
You're listening to the Random Roll Radio Show, an Outplayed production. To find out more about the cast, characters, or the world we're building together, go to randomrollradio.com. Tonight's episode is paid for by listeners like you. If you want to help support the show, leave us a review or go to patreon.com/outplayedproductions. And remember, there is no E in Outplayed. Now please enjoy tonight's episode of the Random Roll Radio Show.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 10 of the Random Roll Radio Show. My name is Corey.
I'm Larson.
I'm still Eric.
And I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Duff.
And we have our first ever day off. Are we actually going to get to play through this day off, or are we just going to like skip it and then jump into the next battle?
You're so tired from the fight, you sleep all day, and you're back to work.
Oh man!
I mean, it would be plausible.
I've done that. I have slept through a Sunday, and then I'd be like, "Oh shit, I gotta work."
I guess it depends on what you guys want to get up to on your day off.
On his day off, Frost, he's kind of confused. So he's been visited multiple times in his dreams. Usually after they fight undead, and especially after he had an incident at a coroner's office that he worked in, it sparked his whole interest in becoming a part of the Watch. And he keeps going into these battles, thinking he has Phrasma on his side, and then he gets knocked unconscious, he gets beat up, cut up, and he almost dies several times, especially through the zoo. So on one hand, he feels like he's on this mission for Phrasma, but yet he keeps getting his ass kicked. So he needs to talk to somebody and figure out what's going on here. Does she have his back or not?
So he's going to take some creatine and get pumped.
is that what level two is? You do a cycle?
For Ago, this last day has been terrible for him. For me, so there's a couple of things going on right now. One is his grandfather's armor is at a smithy.
I was going to say, he has to make a phone call to his grandfather. Grandpa, right? Yeah, you know, so that armor?
Well, I mean, so the whole thing about that, too, is that Shonies they follow a maternal lineage. So he's not even really certain that that is truly his grandfather's armor. But technically, it was something that his dad said. His grandfather's already dead because Shonies don't live very long. So, you know. All that aside, this was a big thing for him to be doing it, and now he's thinking, well, okay, so for my day off, I'm going to just kind of wander the city. I got a lot of things on my mind. I'm not even certain that I want to spend any time with my sister, technically, because she's here in the city as well, doing her things for the village as well. Kind of like I'm doing the reason I'm with the Edge Watch is so that I can help support the Shonies when they come here for the Radiant Festival. They haven't arrived yet. And right now, I'm starting to wonder if I'm going to be capable of this, because this is the closest I've been to death in my entire 13 years of living. So I'm going to wander by. And I think, you know, I'd like to get to know you guys a little better, too. So I might swing by, if it's not too creepy. I'd like to swing by, you know, where you guys live. Maybe check in on you, see how you're doing, too. Because we've been through hell together over the last day.
Cal, he's a tinkerer. At heart, I built him in a way that he loves all sorts of crafting. It comes out in the fact that he's an alchemist and he makes these bombs, sure, but he tinkers with all sorts of stuff. In fact, the way that Cal and Frost, well, at least partially, pay their rent is that Cal works at the alchemical shop that they live above, and he just makes like elixirs of life. And just small stuff like that to help pay their rent. But also, Cal has an idea for a crossbow. And in any free time he has, he's going to be messing with that idea. Just prototyping, drawing things up, trying stuff.
That could be super awesome.
Yeah, sounds like fun. I have to figure out how I make it blow up on him.
Well, so one of the things that hasn't come out is that Ago really loves archery. So if you're looking into making a crossbow, that could be super cool. You know, crossbows, you know, not exactly archery, but it is archery, but it's not. So I don't know.
It's got the word bow in it.
It does have the word bow in it and does require putting, you know, something on a target. So, interesting.
Quinn's just going to get hammered. No, I mean, he probably will, but that's not the only thing he's going to do. Quinn's living at the Edgewatch Barracks right now, and he's probably not going to want to just stay there all day. Well, I think Quinn is going to visit the local markets and try to find some herbs or roots that he learned when he was young where he was able to make potions out of them.
Oh, I didn't realize Quinn was a crafter.
He doesn't specialize in it, but he can make potions.
Sweet.
He's what kind of witch can't make potions?
Yeah, that is true.
He doesn't have cauldron, so he doesn't make as many, but he can still do it.
Maybe he should be looking for one at the market.
Mm-hmm.
Just comes back with this like 40-pound cauldron to the barracks, sets it down.
Hey man, when I lived on a ship, the number of stuff that people would come back to and try to fit into the berthing areas, we'd have just the most outlandish crap come back in. People would bring back like statues and stuff from when we were on shore leave. So I'm not 40-pound cauldron is completely reasonable from some of the shit that I've seen.
Are you talking about a full-size statue?
Yeah, I'm talking about a 3-foot pygmy statue, right? And we're like, where the fuck are we going to put this in the 19-man forward burthen? Are you fucking kidding me? What are we going to do with the pygmy? So what we ended up doing was sticking him up in the head and the bathroom. Next in between one of the sinks and stuff. So, and let me tell you, man, sometimes coming down off of midwatch, I come into the room and I think for fucking hell I was about to die because there was this pygmy standing there. So I'm just telling you, it's not a cauldron is tame. Just saying.
Yeah. So we're playing, you know, kind of adventurers in this. It turns out Eric's already been on his own.
It's true.
He's a pathfinder.
Let's go in order. Let's kick it with Frost.
Kick it.
Kick it.
Oh, no.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Never
buying you a Coke. Damn it. Now you owe me a Coke.
We begin in Frost's room again, and he starts awake. He was briefly in that darkness, that graveyard, that was as far as the eye could see. He seems to be having this recurring after his encounters. What is his sense as he gets up? Is he getting used to this? Is this still panicking him? Like the first night he had to go to Cal. Cal had to wake him up. Is this becoming more comfortable for him?
Not necessarily more comfortable. It's becoming frustrating because he's not getting the answers he wants. It's just more of the same. He wants to move forward in his information, not just keep repeating over and over again. And not only that, he keeps having those dreams where you're falling and then you catch yourself, but it's just that feeling that he had when he kept almost dying, when he kept getting knocked unconscious in battle. He's just having that feeling over and over again of like falling.
Yeah.
I can tell you how he wakes up. Cal is just throwing raisinettes at him. Just shut the fuck up. Trying to sleep.
I think this is a thing that's not really discussed much. We've discussed it a little bit, but what would life be like for these adventurers? Guys in the party literally were dying and then just brought back up magically or whatever. What would this feel like to a character dealing with this day in, day out?
In Frost's mind, it's that feeling of falling and then catching yourself awake. Just falling and catching yourself awake. It's just being on the brink of somewhere between consciousness and not.
And is this weirder for Frost given who he is? He's a Duskwalker, right? Like,
it's weird for him because, like I said, it's just he feels like it shouldn't be happening to him. He feels like that he should be able to fight it more.
He has no memory of who he was before, right?
Not really. He's got, again, snippets from dreams that he doesn't know if they're true or not. I mean, honestly, he doesn't know if anything he's ever dreamt is true. It's just how it feels. And some dreams feel like maybe they actually happened.
All right. So Cal, still throwing the Raisinets.
I'm almost through the whole box. It's the kind that you buy at the movie theater.
It's now fairly early morning, your normal wake-up time.
There's a raccoon on my chest eating Raisinets.
Yeah, we haven't seen Stu in a while. How's Stu doing?
Stu is always fantastic.
He was okay with what was going on in the zoo?
I mean, I keep him in the pouch most of the time. I'll break him out if it's called for, but for the most part, he's a tiny raccoon. What's he going to do in battle?
I feel like when he saw Big Bertha, he would have been terrified.
You did say at one point he took off running to go fetch you more ingredients.
No, he just pooped them out of his pouch.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where he gets them.
I just use
never
them.
Asked.
And I'm not certain that you know what a raccoon is with a pouch and all that, so... He's got a little pouch on his belt, though, right? He's got a little separate.
He has a pouch, and then he has a little pouch. Raccoon in that pouch. That it's has not a like a marsupial. Who has a little raccoon right? In his pouch.
That's just bullshit that you guys said. He's just a raccoon. He doesn't have a pouch.
The two of you are awake now, getting ready, and you hear a knock coming from outside. And it sounds like someone you've heard before calling your name. I think Ago is at the door.
Cal! Hey, Cal! Frost! You guys up?
And takes a couple seconds, and you hear some rustling, and then Cal opens the door, butt naked.
Of course he does.
Casual day, huh?
He's still wearing his bandolier, though.
That's straight up Boy Scout right there.
Hey, I was walking through the neighborhood, and I thought I'd come by and see how you're not dressed right now. That's weird for people who don't have fur.
Not this early in the morning. Go away.
Oh, okay. I go away.
No, but, I'm sorry. I didn't sleep at all last night. You're fine. You're fine, bud.
Do you guys live above an alchemy shop?
Yeah. I tell you what. Give me just a couple seconds. And I'll be right down.
I'm gonna go get some coffee. You guys want some?
Yeah. Is coffee a thing in this world?
Clearly, actually,
coffee's
it is.
Better be a thing in every world.
English breakfast tea, if you don't mind.
Okay, I go find to see if there's a cafe that does tea.
I think it's Absalomian breakfast tea. The question I have for Ago here is, did Ago actually know where they live, or did he just use scent to figure it out?
So that's a good question. I think I'm guessing that when he's been talking, as we've been walking around together, and sort of the off-air stuff, that the guys would have exchanged ideas where each of them live. Like, I live over by Eastgate. Right. So, and these guys live above an alchemy shop, and I didn't know where it was. The one thing for me, though, is interesting is that I know that my sister is looking for reagents for, leather tanning and things that my village does. And she's always looking for sources of supply and stuff. And so, he's kind of been interested from the beginning. Plus, like I said, I kind of want to know where these guys live. I want to know who they are as people. I mean, we've been fighting together for the last 4 days, 5 days, but I didn't know them before then. And for me, this is very important to see where people live, because that's how it was in my village. Everybody knows where everybody is, right? And I don't feel like I know these people so well. So if I get to see where they live, that's very important for me.
I just want to point out that I just asked if coffee was a thing, but I was throwing Raisinets.
Well, clearly there's Raisinets everywhere. It's chocolate, dude. How can you go wrong with Raisinets? So I'll come back with some coffee and... Absalomian breakfast tea.
God damn it, they spelled it with Cal with a C again. What? Why can't they get it right?
And I'll knock on the door again. Hey guys, I'm back.
Yeah, and this time open it up, and I've got on my quilt pants, Stu is running around in a fervor. If you've ever had a cat, you know how they randomly will just start running in a circle and jumping off walls? Yeah, Stu is doing that at this point. Yeah, come in. Come in.
You live in a pretty nice place.
And I'm looking around at all the shelves of stuff and stuff.
You don't live in the middle of our shop, though, right?
No, the shop's down below. They were nice enough to rent us out this room above. And again, we mentioned it before, but it's kind of split down the middle, but you see Cal's half, and it's an absolute wreck.
Oh, this is a nice place. I can tell where Frost live, and I can tell where Cal live. That's a good thing.
Well, yeah, Frost gets pretty upset whenever my stuff enters his area.
I mean, it's not that hard. If you had less stuff, you would be able to know where it all was. But, you know, it's neither here nor there. It's fine, whatever.
So, we got a day off. I gotta tell you, I don't know what day off mean, you know? Because we don't have days off in my village. We just have days. So, you guys gonna do anything today?
Well, a day off is when you spend the day doing your own thing and you don't spend it with your coworkers, but you know, whatever. it's fine.
Oh, you want your light leave? I can go walk around.
Again, but I'm just messing with you. I'm actually gonna leave myself so you and Cal can try not to blow up the shop today. And I look at Cal, knowing what he's gonna be trying to do today, and really pushing forward the fact that I do not want him to blow up this shop and get us kicked out of our apartment.
I've never blown it up once. Don't know why you're looking at me.
So, you just completely don't remember the time you set fire to our bedroom when we were kids? That just not...
It wasn't this shop, was it?
So, you're just gonna forget about the time that you set fire to the school that we went to?
Still wasn't the shop, was it?
You guys got school? I thought you were from Copperwood. I hear they got no schools in Copperwood. Why are you not laughing?
Cal slaps him.
he comes over to their house and starts insulting them. I love it.
So, again, in Gnomish, I say to Cal, this guy fucking real? What's wrong with this guy? Come over to our house making fun of us.
No, it's just that's a Shoney joke. No worries. I know you guys smarter than me, you know? Yeah. So, you guys mind if we hang out together?
Oh, yeah, Frost's leaving, but, I'll tell you what, I've got some stuff to do downstairs. You follow me down here, and, I'll show you around the, alchemy shop. It's actually pretty interesting, all the stuff they've got down here.
I grew up with a bunch of farmers and, tanners. We do leather working. We need lots of, chemical like this, reagent, or something, whatever they call. My mother, she's a very good tanner. And I know my sister Lola, you haven't met her yet. Maybe you meet her later. But she's looking for all sorts of reagents for tanning, for dyeing, for all these things. You think maybe Aberdeen's, this place here you live, maybe they have a source of, they have supply for all sorts of dyes and tanner reagents and stuff?
Well, this place has just about everything. They supply all the, you know, the bigwigs around that need all sorts of alchemical items. But yeah, I'll show you around the place and show you what I've been up to whenever I'm not getting my ass handed to me.
I would like that. That would be not very nice.
The three of you, I guess, start walking down towards the shop. At this point, Frost would be splitting off, right?
Yep, Frost has got some pretty nice clothes on. He's got just one nice set of clothes that he keeps hung next to the bed, and he's got that suit on.
He's picking raccoon fur off.
Pretty much. He's trying to dust it off as much as he can, and it's not helping, but he does try to keep one nice set of clothes that he's got on now.
Okay, so you part at the doors, and let's go see what Quinn's up to. Quinn wakes up in the barracks. What's his plan at this point?
Quinn wakes up. He is still wearing all of his clothes, including his shoes. he wakes up, stands up. He's going to head out to the markets.
as he's heading out, Halfling looks at him. Morning, Quinn. How you doing?
Who are you?
You met me last week. I'm Anarin. I'm a wizard with the Edgewatch. I just joined up last week.
I'll remember you.
Oh, that's disappointing. He puts his head down. He walks away, sadly. And goes to his bunk. I guess his shift was just ending. And you start heading out to the Radiant Festival grounds. So you're just going to go shopping around the festival grounds? Is that correct?
I just went super dark with that. And it's like, and he starts tying his bed sheets into a noose.
No, that's Anarin. He's okay. So you head into some shops. What are you looking for when you're going to these shops?
Quinn would be looking for herbs that he would have seen his, mother or grandmother using to make potions and stuff when he was younger.
This type of marketplace is common at the Radiant Festival, even in the Precipice Quarter, but in the Radiant Festival, there are a lot of small shops set up. And I think on the way in, maybe he'd walk by, see Grunka and Pelmo, probably yelling at each other, as they are wont to do. And he'd find the types of shops that he's looking for. And in the first one, you're going through some of the items. You take a look in this shop, doesn't have what you want. You move on to the next shop. And in this one, you find a couple of things that you think would work for what you're looking for. And as you're moving, somebody sort of bumps into you. And for a moment, your hand slips out from under the coat that's normally covering it. And it just so happens that the proprietor's looking at you at that exact moment. He's, what's up with your hand?
What do you mean, what's up with my hand?
I can't see it now. It's under your sleeve, but you look like you had some weird glove on there.
Oh, that, it's a family heirloom.
Oh, it looked like it was, like, glowing or something. That was kind of weird.
Nope, no glowing here.
Okay, my mistake. Sorry. And then you move on from there. What would you be thinking as he mentioned this? What would Quinn be thinking?
Quinn would be mildly freaking out because he's trying to keep this under wraps as much as possible.
So you move on to the next shop, and as you're there, you notice a few other people milling about, and you look over and you catch the eye of someone. You think you've seen him before, maybe on your patrols. It's not really clear. He looks right at you and he winks. As you're turning away, as Quinn's turning away from him, you see he takes like some fruit, palms it, throws it in his pocket, and just walks out. Didn't pay for it. And he just starts walking off. What would Quinn do?
Quinn would probably just go about his business.
Oh, God.
So he's just going to ignore that this happened?
Where Quinn's from, this kind of thing happens. And, I think that Quinn would think to himself that maybe he needs some food. Like, Quinn's from a place that, went through a lot of civil wars. And he's not going to attack somebody for just taking food.
He wouldn't do anything but just leave it. It's cool.
I mean, you just act like you didn't see it.
All right. So, as Quinn's letting the thief move on, we're going to jump back and see what Frost is up to. We'll be back to see what Quinn... Maybe Quinn's conscience will get the better of him. We'll see.
So, Frost is trying to find a way to get to the Temple of Pharasma, the closest one.
This is Absalom, so there is a giant one not too far away. It is a cathedral. It looks like a Gothic cathedral, what you would see. Huge. It doesn't seem surprising that there'd be a fair bit of money put into a temple to Pharasma, given that Pharasma is the one who judges you when life ends and decides where you go. So in a city like Absalom, it would be a huge, huge cathedral. You would know it easily how to find it, and I think you would find yourself there fairly quickly. You'd notice when you got there that this is a big enough temple that this doesn't have one priest. This has a series of priests. And you can see a lot of women there, in particular with Pharasma, about two-thirds of the clerics are women. You would also notice a lot of pregnant women. This is a common place for pregnant women to come, would be to a temple of Pharasma. And in general, you just see it's fairly busy, but I think Frost would be aware that Pharasma, since the death of Aridin, is a less worshipped goddess than she once was. And this is because prophecy is broken, which is problematic, I think, for a Duskwalker. I know that's a lot of information about the lore that I don't know if Frost would know that, but it is something that's known in the world, that Pharasma is not seen as being as important as she once was because she didn't see the death of Aridin coming. Or if she did, she didn't tell anybody about it. And that's caused conflict. So anyway, you're in this place, still very busy, but not as busy as it once would have been. A priest greets you. Hello, how are you today? It's a older man.
Oh, not so bad in you.
You know what I appreciate about you?
Super cash, you know.
I've been better, actually. Do you know what I am?
Yes, I can tell by your skin. You are a Duskwalker.
Yes, I very recently discovered what that actually meant. They've been coming to me in my dreams and telling me about it.
Who's been coming to your dreams?
I don't know who they are, but there's a bird.
Ah, yes. You have seen a psychopomp.
Is that what they are called?
They are a psychopomp, a type of psychopomp. Does it resemble a crow?
Maybe a crow or a raven.
Yes. Yes, you've been visited by psychopomps. It sounds, if they look like crows or ravens. Did they wear masks?
Yeah, like a plague doctor, like a long...
Yes, this is a Noisa. They are servants of Pharasma.
Well, the thing is, they tell me to protect the Circle of Life and to fight the undead, and I'm all for it, but as I try to achieve that goal, I find that my body fails me, and I fall over and over.
How much do you know of Pharasma's worship?
Not a lot. The libraries in the Copperwood are not very dense. We didn't have much in the way of religion there.
The worship of Pharasma is generally broken into three. Her birth aspects, her death aspects, and her fate aspects. It seems to me that you may want to speak with our high priest that deals with the death aspect.
Where can I find them?
He is here. His name is Thondor Stent. I will see if I can make an appointment with him for right now. You seem like you need to see him now.
That would be most appreciative. Any knowledge I can collect would be great.
I will see what I can do. I will be back in a second, my son. As the priest walks over to find the high priest of the death aspect of Pharasma, let's go back and see what's going on with Cal and Ago. So we're in the workshop here. What are we seeing?
Yeah, so we've gone downstairs into the actual alchemy supply shop, and I've taken Ago into a back room, and there are shelves lining the whole room with different types of reagents, different vials and whatnot. And there's like a little workbench, and it has a pretty nice alchemy set sitting on top of it. And I turned to him, yeah, this is actually where I do most of my work. Not all of it. Sometimes I have to, you know, mix things up in the field, but whenever I can, this is a really nice workshop, better than I've ever had before.
So I poke my nose up into the air and I sort of take a, you know, sniff, 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 sniff. And I look back over to him and I say, this is a very interesting sort of place. So this is where you do all your stuff with the what do you call it? The vials and stuff?
Well, for the most part, what I use whenever we're out is a little bit different than what I make here. What I make here is a bit more mundane, but, you know, it helps pay the rent.
I gotta say, this is a completely new thing. There is one alchemist in all of Irogost, but I don't know who that is, really. I mean, they're in a different clan than me, so I never get to see a sort of place like this. My mother, on the other hand, she is very good at leather working, you know? And that take a lot of chemicals. And I gotta say, this is a very important place.
Yeah, well, me and Frost, we got very lucky to find this place. Honestly, we wandered into the city not knowing where we would stay. We expected to, you know, just end up in a shack, but luckily we met the people who own the shop, Mr. and Mrs. Aberdeen, and turns out I had the skills they were looking for, so not only do we have a place to stay, but I got a place to work.
Hey, Cal, I got to ask you. You know, I know gnomes, they live for longer than my people. But how long you been doing this alchemical thing?
Actually, not that long. I've been tinkering with stuff my whole life. You know, you mentioned leather working. I've done a bit of that, a bit of woodworking, a little bit of iron working, things like that. And I stumbled across a book, you know, just a couple years back or so that had some alchemical formulas in it. And, well, I'm interested in anything that has to do with making. So I just kind of took to it.
As you've been talking, he's been poking his fingers through some of the vials and stuff and sort of leaning over and sniffing stuff. And he says,
so you've not been doing this very long? You seem very, very good at it, you know? I mean, I've been glad that you've been around. You don't seem like you've been doing this for so long. But I you seem very good at this.
And he looks around and says, a lot of
interesting smells here, you know? I think my sister, she'd be very interested in talking with your people, you know?
Ah, for the leather working, you mean?
Well, yeah. But, so, what you tinkering on right now? What you working with?
The people who own the shop, they give me a list each week of things they would like me to make. And as I mentioned before, that helps, you know, take some of the rent out of it, right? So I just go through the list. I make whatever they need. Usually it's just small things like elixirs of life, you know, help keep people patched up. But it really just depends on what the order is and who's needing what that week.
You know, this is very interesting. My father, you know, I don't know if you know. I think I say he's a hunter, like, but that's not what he really do. You know, I said that there's one alchemist in the village, but my father, he always doing stuff like this. He's always mixing stuff together. And that's how he got his, the jerky recipe, right? But also he do a bunch of other stuff for the rest of the village. He always mixing up things. And, you know, he tried to get me into it, but I don't understand it so good. I'm better out in the forest with the nature. But, you know, after seeing you do this stuff, I gotta say I would be very interested in figuring out a way. I tell you, there's gotta be a way to make your stuff go farther. You know, because when I'm looking at you throwing stuff, but that's that I would. I don't know if you know this, but Shonies are very good at archery. We were very good with bows and arrows. And it occurs to me that would be a great way to come up with something to make your bombs, they go farther, you know?
Well, you're not the only one that's been thinking about that.
Yeah?
And Cal gets a big grin on his face. And over in the corner, underneath like a small sheet, it's just like this lump. And he walks over and he pulls the sheet off. And it's a crossbow. But it's not a normal crossbow.
Okay, do tell.
So on the front, it's got this odd metal apparatus that would hold vials. And in fact, there are two empty vials and one full vial still in it. And Cal picks it up and he's like, I've been working on this crossbow. I had this idea that maybe I can add some of my bomb juju to an arrow and then fire that arrow.
Oh, you think that would work?
In theory, so far, it has not worked at all. I tell you what, I've had two minor explosions. I've had multiple just reagent leaks, and I had one that just burned straight through the wood. I ended up having to replace that board just to, you know, not make the Aberdeens mad. But I think I can get it. However, I'm having a little bit of trouble.
Hago walks over to where you're holding the crossbow and he says, you mind if I take a look at that real quick? And he holds his hand out.
Oh, yeah.
He's having a little bit of trouble because he has to convince the GM to allow this.
So Hago takes it gingerly from your grasp, and you can tell, you know, you guys are of the same height, but he's very cautious with it. And he looks it up and he looks over to you and sort of raises up one what goes for a dog eyebrow. And then he puts it up to his shoulder and he looks down and he says, huh, yeah. The one thing I think about this though, you have the vials right in the way of where you're trying to look to go. You know, you put the vial, I get it, but the vial's in the way of seeing where you want to make the target go. It's a problem, you know?
Yeah, I actually noticed that. However, I've not figured out a way to mount the vials in which they either don't make the balance of the crossbow weird or they don't go get in the way of where I'm shooting. It's definitely a work in progress. I think it has potential, but so far, there's just been a lot of, well, like I said, explosions.
Oh, yeah, but I like the way you think, you know? The one thing I wonder,
and he holds it up to his shoulder again, and he sights down it a little bit, and he says,
I think this could be super useful, you know? If you figure out a way to get the vial out of the way, and, hey, I got the question. When the stuff come out onto the bolt, does it make the fletching wet?
So far, honestly, yes. I'm trying to figure out a way to just let out a little bit of the vial. But so far, whenever I pull the trigger, it just kind of dumps its contents, you know?
I think this is a good project, you know? I think if you figure out a way, maybe, like, oh, you know, that's a blind pepper stuff. Hey, Cal, if we could figure out a way to make the blind pepper onto the bolt, and maybe the bolt doesn't have an arrow, it doesn't have a head on it, but it just has a blunt end. We deliver the blind pepper at the distance, and then maybe somebody who's trying to make some sort of, big noise, we mess them up from a distance. We don't have to get in the front of them.
Yeah, sounds good to me. I mean, my whole shtick is range, right? I don't want to get up in the front lines. That's why I'm working on this thing.
I'm super interested. If you, I don't know how to make it, but I know how to shoot it. So maybe you and I work together, you know?
Any help I can get. Frost, he's no good at this stuff. So I'm glad you came by.
Yeah, me too. I get to see what you do in your time off. Day off.
Want you guys to know that Larson is checking his stat sheet to see if he's any good at this.
Speaking of Frost, let's see what's up with Quinn.
Yeah, no good so, at it.
Quinn has been shopping around. Is he still feeling okay about what's going on with this guy that walked away with some fruit?
So he's turning a blind eye. But he can feel what's under his sleeve is constricting very tightly. And he's kind of wincing. And he mutters under his breath, it's not that big of a deal.
And at this point, he can see the guy who took the fruit, is moving over to another stand, and he can see that he's taking something over there too. This guy's not very far away. He's just a couple stalls over, and he can see the same thing. The guy kind of looks at him again and winks. Like, Quinn can't place this guy at this point, but the guy winks at him, and he palms something else.
So Quinn looks over, and he sees the guy. He sees the guy wink. In Quinn's head, this isn't his problem. But he can feel that constricting, and it's at this point, it's cutting off blood flow to his hand. And he says, "Okay, you win." And he walks over toward the guy.
So as he starts heading toward the proprietor of the shop he's at, is kind of like looking at him like, "Ooh, who's that guy talking to?" And just looking to see if you're okay. And as you start, as Quinn starts moving towards the guy, the guy keeps moving on, moves on to the next stall. He's about, I don't know, 200 yards away.
Son of a bitch.
Roll for initiative.
Son of a bitch.
I just had to throw in 200 yards away. He's actually a lot closer than that. He's probably only about 50 yards away.
It's our first
t-shirt. And he's moving on. So is Quinn following him at this point? Is he...
Quinn feels very compelled to follow this guy.
So as Quinn begins to follow the guy who's winked at him twice before stealing stuff, we're going to go see what's going on with Frost.
How's it going, everybody? I really hope that you are enjoying this episode of the Random Roll Radio Show. And if you are enjoying it, please leave us a review. Not only does it help us get found and grow, but it also gives our self-esteem a little boost and really, quite frankly, makes our day. So please just take a minute, leave us a review, and enjoy the show.
Frost is waiting in this huge Gothic cathedral. Out walks a man, very, very tall, very, very thin man. Black robes, just a little bit of silver on the sleeves and on the very bottom of the robes, but otherwise just entirely like the darkest black you can imagine. And he walks up. He's on his side, he has like a dagger, a ceremonial dagger. He moves towards you. He looks at you and he says, "I'm told you need to speak to me."
"I don't know what the other guy said, but I definitely need someone's help for sure."
"Common said you have questions. Come walk with me."
And he starts walking. And he doesn't even look back to see if you're following. He just starts walking.
"I am definitely following."
You follow him for a while, and he moves down a long staircase. And it's getting very dank and mildewy smelling. You're moving under the ground. And you find yourself coming into catacombs that are underneath the cathedral.
Not creepy at all.
Neat.
Frost is okay with it.
Frost is digging it, right? And he's walking.
What seems to be ailing you?
"I've been given the task by Pharasma herself to defend the Circle of Life. And in order to do that, I took up with the Edge Watch to have help and fight, but as much as I want to be able to do it, my body is failing me. I find myself being knocked down in battle, taking severe damage, but just no way I can do it. I keep failing her."
"Death comes for us all, but new generations come in its wake. Do you know what Duskwalkers are?"
I was told that they are brought back. It's all very vague. They're brought back to fight.
"They're in the other realm, in the Boneyard. There are powerful psychopomps. Two of them arrived at a bargain. The bargain was that some souls who helped preserve the cycle of life and death, that for which Pharasma rules, those souls should be reincarnated. The other psychopomp thought that that would violate the cycle, and it was agreed upon that a finite number of those who died would be able to come back. That's who the Duskwalkers are. The Duskwalkers are the people who are responsible for the cycle of life and death. This is why you feel the need to kill undead.
But if I was this powerful person that was able to fight so much that they were brought back, then why now do I fail?
This is the mistake you make. You are not powerful. You are someone who helped preserve the cycle of life and death. That does not mean you have great power. Although I do sense some sort of power awakening in you. Have you felt different lately?
Maybe. I felt something. In one of my dreams, I definitely felt something awakening inside me, but I don't know if it was dream or reality.
Dreams tell us a lot. Remember, one of the aspects of Pharasma is prophecy. Upon Aridin's death, that prophecy was broken. That is what freed the Duskwalkers. You are to bring balance. And if you feel a power awakening in yourself, that tells you that your fate is now your own. That you control your fate. And if you feel power awakening, maybe you will find the next time you find yourself in battle, maybe you won't find yourself falling so easily.
You've given me a lot to think about, and I appreciate you taking the time. If you don't mind, I think I'll just sit here for a minute and think upon what you've said.
Yes, you are welcome to sit here. I find the catacombs bring me great peace. You, as a Duskwalker, are prized by Pharasma, and so you are welcome here whenever you wish to come.
Thank you.
And at that, Frost will walk over to a nice flat spot, and he'll just kind of sit there, kind of just kneeling on the ground and meditating. He kind of lifts up his cloak, and he still has a kind of pretty good-sized gash in his side from where Owlbear just kind of took a chunk of meat from him. And he kind of looks at this big cut in his side, and he sits there and meditates for a second, and he puts his hand on it, and it heals and closes up the wound.
With that, Thondor nods, and he begins to walk away, leaving you to your own devices.
That's right. Frost has lay on hands, heal wounds now.
Oh, wow. All right.
Oh!
Okay. All right. Okay, okay.
Also, Thondor, hell of a name.
Right. Yeah.
I made that one up myself.
Thondor the Barbarian was one of my favorite shows growing up. So
Thondor. All right, Thondor Stent. So speaking of hands, laying on hands, let's see what's going on with Quinn's hand. Quinn, you've made some headway. You're getting closer to this individual. What's happening with you as you close ground on him?
Quinn's kind of pissed. He doesn't think this is his problem, and it's his day off. Also,
I get that. I get that.
I'm with you, buddy.
The pressure's still there. It's still painful for him, but he's following this guy.
As he's following, he sees out of the corner of his eye a halfling in an Edgewatch uniform.
Quinn's gonna approach him.
Hi, Quinn. How you doing?
Oh, this fucking guy.
It's good to see you. We didn't get to talk back at the barracks. What are you doing here? I'm here. You and Panvalar. Panvalar's just in that shop, just checking things out. Can I help you something?
Are you on duty?
Yeah, I'm wearing my badge.
I saw this guy. He was cuffing some fruit. And Quinn's gonna point out the man.
Panvalar, let's go. Quinn said something. He says it pretty loudly, and as he says your name, the guy looks back and he starts moving quickly. But at this point, the half elf who's inside comes running out, and both Anaren and Panvilar give chase, and you can see some spells being cast. You can't really see exactly what they are from your vantage point, and they grab him. They manage to capture him.
As soon as that happens, his arm's released, and you can see a relief come over him.
Anaren and Panvilar have him. They've got him cuffed. They start moving him back towards you, and the guy just stares at you. It's a human man, and he looks and he says, "I know who you are, Quinn. I know who you are, Quinn Arvinus."
"I don't know you. You got the wrong Quinn. My name's Quinn Calvito."
"Is that what he's been telling you? What are you talking about? That's my friend Quinn. His name's not Arvinus. What's this guy talking about, Quinn?"
"I don't know. Just another punk."
"Yeah, well, we got this under control." The half-elf just says, "All right, Anaren, let's just settle it down. We'll get him back to the headquarters. Quinn, thank you for your help. We'll see you back at the barracks. Have a good one." And they start walking off with this guy. "I know you, Quinn Arvinus. I know who the fuck you are. Maybe you've lied to these people, but I know who you are." And they just kind of drag him away as he's shouting.
When he says that, Quinn clenches his fist, and he is, in his mind, he wants to take a swing at this guy as he's saying it. But he feels that pressure again, but this time it's actually staying his hand, and he can't move.
Quinn is dealing with some serious shit.
He's one haunted dude, man. Holy cow.
Oh, man.
So they keep walking away with him, and he gets out of your line of sight. And we're going to jump back and see what's going on with Ago and Cal. Have they finished up yet in the shop?
I think this is a long-term project, right, man?
Yeah, this is definitely something that's long-term. Pretty much, we're finished here. I would think that Cal would show Ago this cool new thing that he heard about, which is a ghost foot lever. And what this does, Cal is not a strong individual, right? And so pulling back a crossbow is hard to do. So he heard about this invention, so he decided to try it out. And it's basically, it's this bar that you hold on to, and then it splits off into two and curves around. And you put it on two pins on the base of the crossbow, and it hooks the rope and pulls it back. And basically what that does is gives you a 5-to-1 ratio. So making Cal 5 times stronger for pulling this this crossbow back. And so he's like, "Yeah, you know, I'm not a strong guy. So rig this thing up. Look at this. Just fucking instant pullback. Look at that. Super fast." And he's just like loading it and then clicking it without a bolt. And just, "Yeah, fucking, we're going to destroy some shit, Ago."
"That's a really cool thing. That's like when I lift the deer over my head. Yeah, yeah. This is smart stuff. Super smart stuff.
I don't know about lifting deer over your head, but yeah, this is cool."
So Ago is a very strong guy, and he definitely knows about rope work and 5-to-1 ratios and all the rest of it with pulleys and the rest of it. So this is, it's like, "I never thought of putting it for a crossbow like that. That's a smart thing. You're going to get a lot more power out of that." And he slaps Cal on the shoulder. He says, "You probably could even use a bigger crossbow, you know, get farther range."
"Well, I mean, if it works out with, you know, fixing up the vials and all that, yeah, maybe. Go on to a heavy crossbow. We'll see. We'll see as I level up."
So with that, Ago pauses a little bit, and you know, he's still got blisters down this one side of his face from where the Onkrov got him, and he's got like the remains of a healed up scar that's now cutting across the top of his face from where the owlbear just struck him down, you know, and it's just the fur has been peeled away from him a little bit, and he's looking a little beat up, and he looks at you for a moment, and he's kind of grinning like a, you know, big dog grin, and then he gets real quiet for a second, and he say, "You know, Ka, I really like getting to know you like this. This is better than what we've been spending the last couple of days doing." And he leans up against one of the workbenches and he says, "Hey, Cal, can I tell you something?"
"Yeah, considering what we've been through, I think you can tell me just about anything."
"Yeah, you and me, we're kind of small guys compared to the other tall guys, you know? They're not so strong, though, those other guys, but whatever. Anyhow, the one thing I've been wondering..."
"Fuck you."
I just figured out that you're going to have a carnival game where you have to roll strength tests to see who's the strongest.
Frost has got a plus 16.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure actually that, anyhow. So he's leaning up against the workbench and he's saying,
"Cal, I got to say, you know, this is not like what I thought it was going to be. I'm supposed to be here for help my family."
And he shakes his head.
"Yesterday was not like I thought it was going to be at all. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this."
"Well, yeah, I get where you're coming from. Yesterday was rough. I joined up expecting adventure, you know, catching thieves, stuff like that. I wasn't expecting to find a whole room of people who had nothing to do with nothing. And then they're just gone, right? It's more than I signed up for, too."
"I keep seeing the face. And I think, you know, we were sitting in that, the smithy. And I was helping Frost out, you know. And, we were helping each other out. And we were so, well, we had to stop, you know? Didn't we have to stop? We had to stop, right?"
"Yeah, I mean, we hit our limit."
"But I keep thinking, you know, what if we hadn't stopped? What if we had, you know, if we had gone in, if we hadn't stopped? Would those people in the Red Room? I see their face. Cal, I gotta say, I see their face all the time. I could not sleep last night. That's why I was here so early this morning. I don't know who else to talk to."
You can't put that on yourself. You can't put that on us. I mean, we saw the blood in the room, right? It was mostly dried. The minutes that we took in the smithy, it wouldn't have made a difference, Ago. But we did make a difference. We saved a child, and possibly we saved the other people that we found in that room. This job is definitely a lot harder than we ever thought it would be. But just think if we weren't there. How would that have turned out?"
Ago looks relieved at that, and he reaches out a hand and grasps your shoulder, and he say,
"Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're a good guy, Cal. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I think about that a little bit. Right? Investigation before accusation. Yeah.
And with that, we've got Quinn feeling anger at this guy who's called him out by a name that he's not known by. We've got Frost sitting in the bottom of the catacombs of a temple to Pharasma, and Ago and Cal having this conversation about the horrible things that they've witnessed over the last couple days. And I think that that is a great place to end this session as we start into a very different aspect of the AP next week.
Woohoo! The Random Roll Radio Show uses trademarks and or copyrights owned by Paizo Incorporated, used under Paizo's community use policy. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. This podcast is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Incorporated and Paizo products, visit paizo.com. That's PAIZO.com.